Welcome to Amandla, The Power Within, a podcast about the questions we all face as we navigate life, love, work, purpose, and the absurdity of middle life. Together, we'll laugh, learn, and dig deep into what it means to face this season with courage, grace, and authenticity. Let's unlock the power that's already within us. Welcome to our Go Deeper series with Coach Alicia of Nurturing Growth Trading, where we unpack a burning question that came up for me whilst speaking with my guests. Join us as she gives you tools and language to live more authentically. So welcome everybody to our first meaning making session with Coach Alicia, which a lot of you asked to meet or to go to one of her coaching circles after our session last time. And the reason why this is so great is because after I speak to a guest, sometimes I have a burning question that is sitting with me that I feel like I'd like to unpack with Coach Alicia and potentially can give us some kind of tools or language to understand something a lot better. And in my conversation with Melusi on the episode, My Genya, We Need to Talk, it is episode 2, if you haven't been following the series in context, Melusi spoke a lot about just changing his mind about certain things, and maybe not even changing his mind, coming to a realization or an awareness of how he was approaching his life, mm-hmm. or really coming to understanding how acceptance is such an important thing in his world. And I remember when I was working with you as well, one of the things that came up for me was integrity is so important to me, whether that's in work or in family or in standard relationships, where honesty and integrity is really important to me. So I think the burning question that really came up for me while I was speaking with Melusi and afterwards is really, at what point do we start to live a values-driven life? And does it even matter? To live a values-driven life, does it matter, or can you just go about figuring it out as you move along?
Hello, Mpeo. Thank you for having me again. Yes. It's so exciting to be here. Yeah, the question about living a values-driven life is very important. So sometimes we go through a period where we're not aware of values, right? Most of the time we're in survival mode. We just want to survive life and put food on the table, pay school fees, etc. And then we, in your case, for instance, you embarked on the coaching journey. And in a way, the client isn't always aware, but it's actually an awareness journey. Mm. You know, it's a journey of waking up to yourself, a journey of waking up to your true self. And not just the one that was socialized by your family and your background, etc. And then as part of that journey, the question of values arise, you know, because as you know, coaching is about creating your best life, right? And part of that is not just being clear about what truly matters to you, where you want to be in 5 years' time, but what's also important is who do you want to be in 5 years' time? So the conversation about values helps you with that question, right? So in 5 years' time, you will have the top job, have the good, the nice car, etc. But maybe your health will be suffering, right? So we have this tool in coaching called the Wheel of Life. And I think you will remember it because you completed it, yes. Right? And so this tool helps you prioritize your values. So you start with like 10 values and then you break it down to the 5 most important ones. And then you do a description of what those 10 ones really mean to you, right? And the idea is that it's really not just about where you're going, but about who you're becoming. So the Wheel of Life will look at 10 most important aspects of your life. So for instance, your financial health, your family health, your spiritual health, and your health, because health is the new wealth. If you're not healthy, no matter what you achieve, you're not going to feel good. And so coming back to Melusi, you know, you can see from his conversation with you that he lived life a certain way. And then suddenly he realized, but I want more from life. And then he started asking big questions. And for instance, he was asking himself, what is my relationship to women or to my wife? And then that question took him to his values. You know, what kind of relationship do I want to have? And for instance, that's when he focused on, you know, honesty as opposed to pretense. But then he said, no, actually, this isn't really true. And I want to live a truthful life.
Mm. And I think that what's so interesting about what you're saying, Alicia, especially when you're looking at all of the aspects that come out of that wheel of life, and we'll put a link so that you can print it for yourself as the listeners, and then maybe reach out to a coach or a professional to be able to help you unpack what that means for you. Is I remember when I was doing the wheel of life, it was really difficult actually to get from the 10 to the 5.
Yes.
It sounds like it's, you know, when you're explaining it, that you'll do your 10 values and then we'll knock them down to 5. But that was really difficult. Why is it so challenging to think about what your values are? What is it that happens as you move through life that might make understanding what drives you from a values perspective? What makes it so challenging for a lot of your clients?
So what happens is that we not awake to our lives. So we are shaped differently by our families of origin, conditioning, and socialization. And for the most part, the socialization determines or tells us who we are in the world, right? And then we kind of don't question any of that. We go through life, we get our, you know, we finish matric, we get our degrees if we're lucky, we get our first job. And then when we start having our own families, and sometimes the pieces, the dots don't connect. Mm. They don't come together. And remember, and the same is for your partner. Your partner had his or her socialization and the template that he brings to the, or she brings to the relationship. Now, having to fit those pieces of the puzzle becomes challenging. But families who decide and who choose to actually have value-based relationships will be qualitatively different than families who just stumble through life, who just make it up as they go along. And it's really important to be mindful about it because we're raising kids. You know, so for instance, when our sons were young, we used to tell them that our religion is kindness.
Mm.
You know, so be kind to all people. Whether you're Muslim, Christian, Jewish, just be kind. You know, kindness is accessible to everybody, right? And it's, I think it's a beautiful value. And so as they were growing up, that value guided them. They would be confronted with situations. Maybe the mates want them to take a certain position. The parents want them to take another position. They have their own inner voices also. And oftentimes in that value of kindness would drive the decision that they make. You know, so leading a values-driven life makes a big difference as opposed to just following, you know, the norms of society, which often clash with who we truly are.
Mm.
I can give an example of our communities that we come from. There's a saying that, like, be resilient, be strong, don't cry. And then how far does that take you?
Mm.
If the situation requires you to be vulnerable, to be honest, to slow down, to connect to your feelings, and to shed a tear or two, that is more authentic than just listening to the voices of society.
Mm. So a question then for me, which I think you kind of brought up now, the wheel of life looks at everything, right? So it looks at family, So it's not just exactly like how you were saying, because I want to go back to that. It's not just to say, oh, in 5 years' time, I would like to have had another child, if let's say you're married. Or in 5 years' time, it would be great if the world had delivered a partner to me, right? Or in 5 years' time, whatever it may be. And then in your health as well, your financial health, it could be as well in 5 years' time, I'd like to have started my business, or I'd like to have the top job, or whatever it may be. In my health, it might very well be I'd like to be able to run 5 kilometers. The part of becoming is different, because I think it's so easy for us to say my value is family. But actually, the value could be a double click on that, right? For example, I'm going to use myself as an example, is getting married when I was 36, a fundamental value for me, I guess, throughout my life might have been something that if I had written down on that piece of paper then, or just before I got married, I probably would have said family as well. But I had no desire to get married at that stage. And when we decided to get married with my husband, there was one fundamental thing that we did agree that we want almost as a family value, which is having come from single parent households, or having been raised by one parent, was that we wanted a family where we could raise children together. So raising, being loyal to the raising of children and raising them well and in a single family unit was a value, which I think is different to just putting, because value is so, family is so broad, right? Having enough money to survive is so broad, because having enough money to survive could actually mean my value is stability in all things, for example, or my value is integrity, because I want to be able to make that money, but I want to be able to do it in an honest manner, which isn't necessarily true for somebody who's like, no, my value is to make as much money as I can, no matter who I hurt in the process.
Yes.
So it's not like the values are going to be the same for people. And I think that that's also such an important aspect for us to be able to bring anybody, I suppose, into, is the fact that you could have the same base, let me say family and family, or money and money, or whatever it may be, but the underlying why that value or what it means to you could be different. So you think that you are in a relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic partnership with somebody, and you have the same values, but the thing driving that value is different. So can you talk a little bit about how somebody can think about when they say a value for me is family, or a value for me is good health? What are some of the underlying drivers or questions they should be asking themselves to really understand what the true value is that actually they should probably be writing down? Or in another way, is there some time, some awareness that needs to come about before you can understand what's driving you?
Yeah, so that's very well put. And I wanted to jump in on the value of family, because most of my clients, 90% of my clients, when they first arrive to coaching, family is a value, right? And when they first arrive to coaching, family is a value, and that includes the extended family. And then often the mom has a higher priority, because often the mom was a single parent and or the granny, you know? And now that I'm successful as a professional, I want to give back, and I want to honor my granny's legacy, right? But then as the story unfolds, and sometimes granny becomes a little bit unreasonable. Granny wants you to, you know, I've got all kinds of examples. There's the one example where a sibling's daughter was getting married to a guy, but there was no money for the wedding. But the one professional who's the client, so the coaching client, must now fund that wedding of the niece. Yeah.
Of the niece.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of the niece. Mm. And so when you blindly say family is your value, you know, you may be not awake to the clash between that value and another value. So if you were to also say that self-care is a value, or you have a value about financial abundance, you know, you can see how it can clash, right? Or now you have your own family, before you didn't, now there's a clash between the extended family and your nuclear family. And so what do you do then? You know,
because
so,
then the self-care, and in the example that you're using, the self-care and the financial abundance requires you to make certain decisions, or will require that. The family loyalty on the other side,
yes,
will also demand certain things of you. And sometimes those will then clash.
Yes.
What happens? What do you do?
Yes. So you were asking about the underlying drivers, right? So the foundation that you operate from, so values is one of the key elements. But as I explained, sometimes there's a clash. And another foundational element of coaching is your declaration, what truly matters to me. So you'll see that you need to have a stacking or an order of priority in terms of the values, right?
Got you.
Let's say my health, self-care, my own family's well-being, you know, that's at the top. And then you can have family again, and granny can come down here again. But as you start growing and you start taking a stand for yourself and you start taking a stand for the future you are creating, right? Because that is important. We have to be intentional about that. That will then influence the decisions that you take. So sometimes it comes from socialization and it comes from habit to just say yes to granny, you know, but saying yes without being intentional about it can lead to resentment, you know, because now it's the 20th of the month and school fees must be paid or something must be paid and the bank balance is empty, right? So you cannot continue to pour water into the river, you know, as it's just going to merge with a bigger river and things flow out. And then when you sit with your resentment, that has impacts on your health. It has all kinds of implications. So asking those underlying, or rather the underlying drive and what truly matters to me. So something has to matter more than something else. And so maybe you've always been people pleasing. Maybe you've always been granny's, you know, favorite, and you enjoy that status. You enjoy that role. And maybe there's a conversation that needs to be had. You know, granny, I've taken out a funeral policy for you, or I'm, you know, making a monthly contribution to your lifestyle. But this is where I draw the line. Yeah. And then we come to the issue of boundaries. You know, how does it affect you to sponsor the extended family like forever? I hope that answers your question.
It does. And it brings up a lot for me, because I think we see it everywhere. And what you're bringing up for me is really, if we're looking at a values-driven life and the ordering of those values, I think that's actually, for me, what's key here is, because in the way that I used to approach it, it was almost like everything is equal. All these things are equally important to me. And so I understand now, as you're speaking, why there were clashes in certain decisions I could make, and how ordering your values could then help you make decisions where there is a clash, because then you're able to say, this matters more than this. They both matter, but one matters more for the person that I'm trying to become. So then my kind of, I suppose, almost not really my last question on leading a values-driven life is around flexibility and rigidity. So now you've done the exercise, you've done your wheel of life. This is the person that you want to become in 5 years' time. This is also in terms of stuff, right? Because I feel like there's stuff and who. There's the what and the who, right? Or maybe put differently, there's the what you want to achieve and how you want to achieve it. Those are two different things that you need to kind of say, okay, I want to achieve these things, but when I look at myself in the mirror, when I get to that point of achievement, I want to feel this way about myself.
Yes.
Is really important, because sometimes we focus so much on the things we want to achieve in terms of the what, we forget the how.
Yes.
And I think in sometimes getting to the how, you need to be flexible. It's almost like your values or the things that you've ordered, there's a highway. Maybe with 6 lanes or 5 lanes or 4 lanes. And sometimes that highway can go from being a 3-lane highway to a 6-lane highway, because you are flexible as you grow in what that value means to you.
Yes.
Right? And there are some things that you're rigid about, where you're like, this one will never change. This is a firm boundary for me. What is the value of being flexible in the way that you approach things? And what is the value of being rigid?
Right.
And rigid is not a nice word because it sounds negative.
Right.
But how do you decide what things in my life are firm boundaries, will never change, and is there such a thing?
Mm.
And what is the value of being flexible? Because I do think that there's sometimes when you're holding on to a value you used to have, or a perspective or a position that you used to have, and you're holding on to it so firmly, even though it's hurting you.
Values evolve, right? So values can evolve based on your developmental stage. So when you're 15-year-old in grade, whatever, 9, you have different priorities, different needs, different, you know, interests, as opposed to being 25 or 35 or 45. And so somebody has to ask you then what you truly value at 15, you know, you're going to value friendship and makeup and whatever the case may be. And so as we grow older, and hopefully as we grow older, our relationship with ourselves also changes.
Mm.
Hopefully we pay more attention to what makes us happy. You know, what do we truly want? What legacy do we want to leave behind, etc. And so, as we evolve, and I see this every time in my coaching, the whatever the client held high in the start of the journey as opposed to at the end of the journey, very different. Mm. Because it's like the lens is so narrow in the beginning, and we first have to open it up more, and we have to wipe the window clean, you know. Because in the beginning, at the start of the journey, you simply just don't see clearly.
Mm.
You know, your vision is limited, your perspective is limited, your options are limited, etc. And so how would you even know what you're precious about? So let's say you're in your early 30s and your children are young, or your late 20s. I would imagine that raising well-adjusted kids would be a core value, right? And then fast forward another 15 years later, they're off doing their things, and hopefully you've imparted good values to them, and you're at a different life stage, you know. So for instance, right now, one of my core values is creativity. So every single day I make time for creativity, you know, and it just lights me up. It energizes me, you know, to be able to be creative in one form or the other, and I can get lost in my creative activities. But when my kids were small, creativity took a back seat.
Mm.
It didn't even feature, you know. So coming back to, I like how you distinguish the what and the how. So we live in a materialistic world, right? And success is measured against, you know, the size of the rock on your finger, the car you drive, and all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's say you are so driven and you're only 38, 42, and you already have it all. The 2.1 kids, the white picket fence, the nice car, and all of that. But you're not at peace with yourself.
Mm.
You don't know yourself. You feel hollow on the inside, you know. Then what does that even mean? It's about finding the balance between what matters to you, what truly matters to you, what you're willing to take a stand for. If I think of our days during apartheid, you know, I didn't have a youth because I was an activist. I come from a family of activists. When other young people were dating and dancing, we were making placards, you know, because at the time, freedom was a true value to us. Now we've been free for a long time, but we may be self-imprisoning, you know. So in terms of our mindsets, our limiting beliefs, maybe we've internalized oppression and we don't fully embrace what we have materially today, the choices we have, the freedom we have. And then maybe freedom doesn't even feature as a value anymore.
Mm.
So coming back to the question of flexibility, And it's about always having an open mind, open heart, being curious, asking questions, and checking in with yourself because the answers are on the inside. Am I fully aligned? Am I leading a balanced life? How do I feel? Do I feel good about myself? Do I feel good about my choices or not? Got all this material stuff, but I'm actually not happy. Be honest with yourself and do something about it. Take action. You know, you're not a victim. So flexibility will always be important.
Melusi and I actually talked about what will be my final question, which is about a lot of, I know I was like that when I came to you. And in fact, I was also like that when I went to therapy, was I was very clear about what I do not want. Very clear. I do not want this kind of boss. I do not want this kind of work environment. I do not want this kind of marriage. I do not want this kind of life. But it took time and it was difficult too, because I couldn't believe how difficult it was to come to a realization of, okay, what do you want? If you don't want that, what do you want? And I think the Wheel of Life is a really great tool to help you think about that. But maybe just to unpack for the listener how being driven by the negative, being driven by what you don't want, how that hampers your ability to understand what you do want. Because what you do want is not necessarily the opposite of what you do not want, which is what I think we often think.
Right. Like,
I don't want a toxic boss. Okay, it means I want a boss who... what? Loves you? What? Supports you? Pays you well? What does the want look like? Which I think sometimes in being clear on what we think we don't want, we think then what we want is opposite, which I realized very quickly that that's not what it is. So that when a person fills out the Wheel of Life for themselves, they are careful not to just put the opposite of what they don't want.
Right. So... your question makes me laugh because it's not simple.
It's not.
So there are some people. So if I can come back to the Enneagram for a minute, the personality style that we use in coaching. So for instance, the type 9, who is the mediator, when they start the journey of self-awareness, they have no clue what they want. So for them, we start with, what is it you don't want?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And so for them just to name what they don't want is a step forward. Because for so long, since childhood, they've been overlooked. And then they started overlooking themselves.
Okay.
Right? And then it's like, so who am I? Then they disappear into the background. So for all of us, we want to stay safe, but we all have different strategies of staying safe. And so for the type 9, the mediator, what's in the foreground is harmony, peace. Can we please just get along? And then they're willing to sacrifice themselves for that. So for them, just name, what is it you don't want? Be bold tonight and make a suggestion as to where you want to eat or where you don't want to eat, right? So in coaching, it's not about the ideal. It's just about your next step, your next level of growth. Your next level of strength, accessing, celebrating, using your strengths. Your next level of being more at peace with yourself, you know. And then in terms of what you do want, for somebody like yourself who is part of the assertive triad, no problem. You know what you don't want, and with the help of a coach, you'll be able to say what you do want, you know. It's just about creating the space to exploring that. And beyond that, it comes back to the issue of value. So if I want an equitable, fair society, and what will I do about it? How will I use my resources? How will I use my time? You know, so it depends on the level that we're operating from. For some people, it's mere survival, making it through today without killing myself, without killing one of my children, and just using the breath, using whatever resources I have to make it through. And good, brilliant. And for the next person who's at a higher level of functioning, it's also about meaning making, it's about values, and it's about making a difference.
That is so fascinating. And I just want to thank you so much for helping me unpack that question. So I think what we will do for the listeners is I'll actually put in a link to a free Enneagram test and the Wheel of Life.
Sure.
And I would strongly encourage you to reach out to a coach to just help you understand what that means for you. Maybe, Alicia, you can talk a little bit about your coaching circles, which are a lot more affordable. I know that a lot of people really worry about the affordability of being able to get help, but there are ways that you can. So maybe just to give Alicia you a moment just to talk about your coaching circles and how those work compared to, like, let's say one-on-one sessions. If you're ready for a one-on-one session, even better. But can you just tell us a little bit about, like, the coaching circles and how those work, so that we can also put a link to that for everybody, because I think that this was a really important one. It is so interesting to understand that, and thank you for raising the point that for some people, understanding what you don't want is probably your next right step, because you've never ever put yourself first.
Yes.
And so I take that as a lesson learned for me, because I think that's probably where I pass a lot of judgment on people who don't know what they don't want. So thank you for putting me in my place there. Okay, so coaching circles, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so coaching circles, so coaching is typically sponsored by companies, so it's very expensive, especially to be coached by somebody like myself with 20 years of experience and the MD of Nurturing Growth Trading, etc. So every year we put together a coaching program that's affordable. It's a 6-month intensive. It's 90 minutes every second Saturday. It's basically you get coached by professional expert coaches. You get an accountability buddy. And the themes that we've identified are your primary life skills themes. So for instance, the next one, next Saturday, is on communication skills. The one after next Saturday is on limiting beliefs. And the idea is that if you understand yourself at a deeper level and you have the tools to do something about it, we're going to have a few sessions also on emotional intelligence and how to manage emotions. We're going to have sessions on manifesting abundance and so on, and having and stress management skills. So it's really an excellent package, and it's a safe space, it's a holding space, it's 90 minutes every second Saturday, and it's super affordable. So please check it out on our website, www.nurturing-growth.co.za.
Thank you so much, Alicia, and thank you so much again for joining me.
You're welcome.
We will be unpacking a burning question again very soon.